At the end of the service today, as you're leaving, we have the third quarter financial report that'll be handed out. I think Brother Jerry Morgan can help us hand these out at the end of the service. But this is a financial summary for the third quarter of the church's income and expenses. And it also gives you year-to-date total income and expense. And it gives all the details of those expenses and income. We're very transparent. We believe transparency makes us more accountable and helps us make good decisions with the Lord's money. So if you're a member of our church or you're just a visitor, it doesn't matter. If you'd like to have a copy of this, Brother Morgan will have these, be handing them out at the back door as you leave today. And we praise God for His blessings, for the wonderful work of ministry through this church by your faithful giving. We thank God for that. If you have your Bibles today, turn to Romans chapter 1, verse 16. Romans 1 and 16. The title of this sermon, I Am Not Ashamed. I'm not ashamed. How many of you saw the message on our sign out in front of our church? The message, if you haven't seen it, it says that we stand with and pray for Israel. Now, that shouldn't be controversial, but suddenly it's very controversial, even in our own nation, is it not? What a sad thing that is. I see students and people all over America protesting against Israel, protesting against Zionism, they call it. As far as I'm concerned, when you're protesting against Israel and the Jews, you're protesting against God. They are God's chosen people. It is through them Jesus came, amen, as a Jew. If I recall correctly, the Word of God is written by His people, the Jews, for us. It comes to us through His people, the Jews. And for folks to stand against them and to speak against them, anti-Semitism, which is just hatred for God's people and hatred for God is how I see it. May we be in prayer for that nation, its leaders, and for our own nation, for wise decisions to be made with regarding Israel. Romans 1 and 16, for I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God to salvation for everyone who believes, for the Jew first and also the Greek, is the conclusion of that I failed to put up there. Paul's powerful declaration has been a source of inspiration. It's been a source of courage to the followers of Christ that have been persecuted for centuries. As he writes these words, he's writing them under the anointing and under the leading of the Holy Spirit. And he's simply stating that the gospel of Christ, the good news, it is the power of God for salvation. And that he's not ashamed of it. And that is for everyone. It's for everyone. He boasts in his weakness, in which Christ's power has been shown. That's an important point to point out. Paul boasts that in his weakness, Christ's power has been shown and recorded. And we see evidence of that in 2 Corinthians 11, 24 through 28. From the Jews, five times I received 40 stripes minus one. Three times I was beaten with rods. Once I was stoned. Three times I was shipwrecked. A night and a day I've been in the deep. In journeys often, in perils of waters, in perils of robbers, in perils of my own countrymen, in perils of the Gentiles, in perils in the city, in perils in the wilderness, in perils in the sea, in perils among false brethren, in weariness, in toil, in sleeplessness often, in hunger and thirst, in fastings often, in cold and nakedness. Besides the other things, what comes upon me daily, my deep concern for all the churches, my deep concern for all the churches. He said, my love of Christ, because I'm preaching the gospel, because I've stayed true to what God has asked me to do, I have been persecuted. And in my weakness, God has been made strong, because he's continued to share that powerful gospel message. And the Bible is very clear about persecution. You could see in 2 Timothy 3 and 12. Yes, and all who desire to live godly in Christ Jesus will suffer persecution. all of the apostles endured great suffering. In fact, tradition tells us that all of them, except for John and Judas, died a martyr's death. We know how Judas died. He hung himself. John, we believe, the only one that did not die a martyr's death. They did all of that because of their obedience and their commitment and their love and their faith in the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior. The Bible even tells us that Christ Himself suffered at the hands of sinful men. And we see that. The Word of God records that. And we as His servants should expect no less in our own lives. It's well documented that, persecution, as severe as it may be, can never, never, never stop the gospel of Jesus Christ. The persecution will never stop the preaching of the Word of God and the power of the gospel being preached. The light of the gospel came to the Americas at a great price. We're often guilty, of course, when we think of the gospel coming to the Americas, we're often guilty of thinking, well, yes, we remember it. It came through Jamestown, and it came later through the pilgrims that came to Plymouth. But history records a little more detail that goes back much further than that. In the early 1500s, before Jamestown, but before the early pilgrims came to Plymouth, 100 years, in fact, in advance of those events, Spain sent Franciscan and Dominican friars, and the French sent Jesuits, men who, in the love of Christ, had taken vows of poverty, vows of chastity and obedience, for one reason, to bring the hope and the good news of Jesus Christ to the New World. One of the most outstanding of the first Jesuit missionaries was a missionary known as Jean de Brébeuf. He came to New France. New France was that part of Eastern Canada. He came to that section of Eastern Canada, New France, with the purpose to minister to the Huron Indians. He ministered to the Huron Indians for 19 long years. While he was serving the Hurons, a band of Iroquois Indians attacked the Huron village. And Jean de Brébeuf was there with them, and he was captured by the Iroquois. The Iroquois tied him up, and they tortured him by pouring boiling water over his naked body in mockery of the sacrament of baptism. When he didn't cry out for agony, they tied a collar of metal hatchets that had been heated red hot in the fire, and they tied that collar around his neck. Again, Brébeuf did not cry out, so they fastened a belt around his waist of birch bark. And they filled the birch bark with pitch and resin. And they once they fastened it around his waist, they lit it on fire. And he still did not cry out for help. His face was set like a flint. He finally did speak. He spoke because he called out to the others that had been captured. He called out words of encouragement to the others that were with him that had been captured. Because he did that, the Indians then cut off his lips, they cut out his tongue, and then they jammed a red-hot iron down his throat so he could speak no more. Then while he's still restrained, hanging there, they cut off strips of his flesh from his legs and arms, and then they ate it right before his eyes. He's dying now. They can sense he's dying, but he's gaining victory just as Jesus gained victory on the cross, and the Indians sensed it. So in the end, they cut out his heart, they drank his blood, and they did that with the hope that they could gain the spirit power that had given him more courage than had ever seen in any man ever. Jean de Brébeuf was not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ. One of Brébeuf's fellow workers was another Jesuit. His name was Isaac Jacques. In 1642, he returned from Quebec to get supplies. He and his party were ambushed by the Iroquois, but Jacques escaped, and when he saw that several of his companions had been taken prisoner, realizing that he had escaped, that he himself was free, He wrote in his diary, he said, "Could I indeed abandon them without giving them the help which the church of my God had entrusted to me? Flight seemed horrible to me. If it must be, I said in my heart, that my body suffer the fire of earth in order to deliver these poor souls from the flames of hell, it is but a transient death in order to procure for them eternal life." He made the decision. I'm willing to go and suffer, even face death. I'm going to go and give myself up because my friends have already been captured. I'm going to give myself up so I can tell these Indians about Jesus. He did just that. He gave himself up. They tied him up. They tore out all of his fingernails with their teeth. Then they gnawed on his fingers. Then they cut off a thumb and a forefinger. Jacques was kept as a slave for their future enjoyment through torturing him, a torture that was so cruel that he longed for Christ to release him from life and let him be with him in heaven. His captivity drug on and on, lasting between 8 and 10 months. Can you imagine? 8 and 10 months being tortured. During that state of time, during those 8 to 10 months, he was in such a state of severe malnourishment. He was in a state of exposure to the cold. Finally, somehow, by the grace of God, he was able to escape. He made his way back to the Dutch colony near Albany, New York. He was sent home, back to his home in France, but he begged to be sent back to New France, to Canada, to serve the Indians. So they allowed him to come back to Canada as the French ambassador to the Mohawk Indians. He comes back and now he's got mangled hands, painful evidence of the torture visible to everyone that met him. He came with one goal, sharing the good news of Christ with those Mohawk Indians. But sadly, in October of 1646, the Iroquois killed him with a tomahawk and threw his dead body in the Mohawk River. Isaac Jacques was not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Persecution against Christians worldwide has risen over the last few years. According to Open Doors USA, a Christian advocacy group, for example, an Anglican bishop in Nigeria told of his wife being kidnapped and brutally tortured. His message to Christians in the West are these words: "If we have faith worth living for, it's a faith worth dying for. Don't you betray the faith we are living and dying for." What a message! Don't betray that faith that people are living and dying for, that faith to share the hope of Jesus Christ. Our modern day examples, even now, today, are examples of men and women facing persecution because of their faith. Many of us remember Pastor Andrew Brunson, an evangelist, a representative of the Presbyterian Church from Montreat, North Carolina. He was in Turkey sharing the good news of Jesus and spreading the Word of God, and he was arrested on false charges of terrorism. He was doing one thing, he was sharing the gospel, but they arrested him because they didn't like it. He spent 2 years in a Turkish prison. Many of you remember during that 2 years, we had his name at the top of our prayer list every Sunday morning praying for him. Finally, by intense negotiations by President Trump and the Trump administration, he was finally released. He was released, but think about it, he was only held because they wanted to harass Christian believers. Pastor Hyun Sun Lim is another example. He pastored the 3,000-member Light Korean Presbyterian Church in Toronto. He traveled to North Korea on a humanitarian mission in 2015. He was providing literally millions of dollars in aid to the North Koreans. But he was arrested. He was charged with crimes against the Korean government. He was sentenced to life imprisonment with hard labor. He was there 2.5 years. And finally, he was released due to successful negotiations by the Canadian government. Another example of persecution is this man. He was assassinated. This man, whose image you see, was assassinated. He was the only Christian cabinet member of the Shabazz Bhatti. His name was Shabazz Bhatti. He was the only religious Christian cabinet member in Pakistan's parliament. They hated him because he refused to deny Christ and he continued to share the gospel of Jesus Christ with all that he encountered. They hated him because he fought against the notorious blasphemy laws of Pakistan. If you just said one single word or did one simple thing that made a Muslim believer feel offended, you would immediately be arrested and often hung for that offense. It was notorious laws that he tried to change. Because he tried to change those laws, this man was assassinated. He knew he was going to be killed. He knew because of the death threats. So he recorded a video to be played in case he died. And in that video, when it was released after he died, he said these words in the video: "I believe in Jesus Christ, who has given his own life for us, and I am ready to die for his cause. I am living for my community," his community of other Christian believers, "and I will die to defend their rights to believe in Jesus Christ." And he did, gave his life. He was assassinated. Who can forget the abduction of 276 Christian girls from a Christian school in Chibok, northern Nigeria? On April 2014, they were kidnapped, as you may remember, by the ruthless Islamic extremist movement Boko Haram. As of April 2023, 9 years later, after the initial kidnapping, over 100 of those girls still remain missing. The girls kidnapped in Chibok in 2014 are only a small percentage of the total number of men and women, mostly women, abducted by that terrorist group, Boko Haram. In fact, Amnesty International has estimated at least 2,000 women and girls have been abducted by that group since 2014, and many of them are still in abduction, are still in slavery. They are forced into being sexual slaves for the members of Boko Haram. Another one you may remember, Miriam Ibrahim. Miriam Ibrahim's great crime in Sudan, her great crime was that she married a Christian man. And for marrying this Christian man, it was later brought charges against her when she was 8 months pregnant. At 8 months pregnant, she was thrown into prison. She was shackled with chains and forced to give birth to her child while she was in chains, simply because she married a Christian man. But on June the 26th of 2014, she was finally released and fought safety and refuge in the U.S. Embassy with her family and finally to safety. The Islamic State, or ISIS, we may remember. You remember them posting their videos, outrages on YouTube, in which they beheaded 21 Coptic Christians in Libya in February of 2015. Another example of modern-day persecution is by the Hindu extremists that are back in power in India. This new radical leader of Hindu extremists, the leader now of India, really doesn't believe that Christians have a place at all in any part of India, a place where churches have thrived for many years, Christian churches. Mobs now are released and churches are burned down and pastors are beaten up. And it can happen as often as 3 to 5 times a week. But the police never arrive and the court never takes any action at all based on what these men are doing against Christian believers. Since we have experienced very little religious persecution in this country, it is quite possible that under pressure, many so-called Christians might deny Christ. It's often that some that shout the loudest about their faith would often surrender the soonest. Many who boast of being courageous sometimes would turn out to be the most cowardly. The Luke's gospel in Luke 21 and 12 records the words of Jesus. Jesus said, "They will lay their hands on you and they will persecute you." He's talking to you and me too, by the way. We don't like to receive that, but he's talking to us. We have no scriptural foundation that as believers that we can forever escape being persecuted for Christ's sake. The normal condition for Christians is that we will suffer persecution for the sake of Jesus Christ. My message to you today is we must stand strong. We must not be ashamed of the gospel of Christ. We must be a bold witness while there is still the freedom to testify and tell those around us that Jesus is the only hope and that Jesus is the only answer for this world. There's four things we must do, and the first one is that we must make sure of our relationship with God. Amos, the prophet, he prophesied about the day of judgment that was approaching, and he warned Israel, he warned them to prepare to meet God. The word preparedness is a key for all of us. I ask you today, are you prepared to meet God? Have you trusted in Christ as your Savior? Are you born again? Are you walking every day in faith and trust in Jesus? Is He your Lord? Or do you trust Him with everything in your life? Don't leave this church today without being sure in your heart that you know Christ as your Savior and that your relationship is right with Him. The second thing is that we must walk with God. We must learn to walk with God every day, to practice His presence, to seek Him, to pray to Him, to be aware that we're His child. God has not promised to deliver us from every trouble. We understand that. He has not promised to deliver us from every trouble, but He has promised to go through that trouble with us, to be with us. You remember the story of Stephen in the Bible as a young man. He was full of faith. The Bible's described him as a man full of faith and full of the Holy Spirit. But he was stoned to death because of his faith in Jesus Christ. I'll tell you today, if you are not regularly strengthening the inner man every day by walking with God, by praying to Him, when a crisis comes, if you're not strengthening that inner man, you may be quaking with fear and you may give in and you may have no strength to stand up for Jesus unless you're walking with Him every day. Charles Spurgeon said, "There has never been 15 minutes in my life when I did not sense the presence of Jesus." Christ must be a vital reality to us every single day, and we must be loyal to Him every day with all of our heart. The third thing is that we must fortify ourselves with the Word of God. Oh, how powerful the Word of God is. The Bible says, "Stand therefore, having girded your waist with truth." That's in Ephesians 6:14. The truth is the Word of God. Amen. The truth is the Word of God. Read it. Feed on it. Let it be your staff and your strength. It is quick and powerful according to the Word of God. It's the source of strength for my soul and your soul. It's the source of faith every day to stand against the enemy and to stand in victory in Jesus. Store the Word of God. Store the Scriptures away in your heart. What a comfort His Word. What a strength His Word is to us each day. Finally, number four, pray always. The Word of God in Ephesians 6 and 18, you know it well, praying always, with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, being watchful to this end, with all perseverance and supplication for all the saints. The Bible reminds us that earnest, fervent prayer precedes every triumph. Earnest, fervent prayer precedes every victory. Earnest, fervent prayer precedes every miracle, every salvation. May we be a people that believes in earnest, fervent, Spirit-led prayer on our knees, seeking God with all of our heart. If Christianity is going to survive in a world that's full of wickedness and evil and godlessness, and we see it all around us, we see it in our own nation, then the church must have a revival of prayer. We must repent of our prayerlessness and come back to God. God needs men and women that will stand with Him. God needs men and women who are not afraid or ashamed to proclaim Jesus as their Lord and Savior. Now, today is the time to fight in the power of the Word of God. Now is the time to fight in the power of His Holy Spirit. Now is the time to fight in the power of prayer and hope and righteousness. It's now time to fight in the power of His holiness. It is now the time to fight in the power of our one true God, our Father in heaven, who is with us, and His power is in us as we proclaim the good news of Jesus Christ. Jesus told us in John 15 and verse 20, "Remember the word that I said to you, a servant is not greater than his master. If they persecuted me, they will persecute you." That's true, isn't it? The words of Jesus, He's telling us, look, if they gave me a hard time, they're going to do that to you. If they rejected me, if they mocked me, if they accused me of being a liar, they're going to do that to you. You're going to be misunderstood when you take a stand. You're going to be criticized when you take a stand. I'm so thankful the day after I put that message on our sign, a young woman came to the door, stranger, didn't know her. I let her in. She said, I just want to introduce myself. My name is Mimi, and I'm a Messianic Jew. And I want to thank you for putting that message on your sign. I want to thank you and your church for standing for Israel. We had a great discussion. She reminded me, she said, you know that when you take a stand, you can expect people to come and criticize you and give you a hard time. I had thought of that when we put that sign up, but all I could think of, I must be true to what we know is true and proclaim that truth, and we stand with Israel. We stand with Israel. We pray for Israel. So I ask you today, will you become one of God's warriors, one of God's fighters, and be in the battle in this last day? My prayer is that our church, that in this church, that we'll become an army of prayed up, Spirit-filled, on fire for God believers that are ready to share the gospel of Jesus Christ. Some folks may be rude to us. They may just slam the door in our face. I'll tell you, that is so small. That is so small compared to the torture and the persecution that so many have endured and are enduring even today. This scripture is a great scripture in Hebrews 13 and 3. It's the NIV translation. Continue to remember those in prison as if you were together with them in prison. And those who are mistreated, as if you yourselves were mistreated. We may not forget that all over the world today, people are in prison, people are being mistreated and persecuted for their faith. We must not shrink back from doing the right thing. We must not let Satan keep us from the power of God, which is sharing the gospel of Jesus. As we remember this famous quotation that you see, silence in the face of evil is evil itself. Not to speak is to speak. Not to act is to act. God, give us the courage by the power of His Holy Spirit to act and to speak up for Jesus. Give us the passion, Father. Give us the determination. Give us the boldness. Give us the faith to reach out to those around us, to reach to our neighbors, to tell them God loves them. Jesus died for them. There's hope for them. That's the good news. And it's Jesus Christ. Would you bow your heads with me this morning? Father, I thank You for the ministry of the Holy Spirit in this place today. Father, I thank You that we have gathered here in this place to worship and to hear the Word of God, but most important, to feel the move and the pull of Your Holy Spirit. Father, there's someone in this room today, right now, that needs to commit their life to Jesus, wholly, without reservation. There's someone in this room right now that needs to step forward and say, I wholly commit myself to Jesus Christ. I completely surrender my life to His Lordship. I want that joy. I want that assurance. I want that peace. And right now, you're feeling the Holy Spirit speak to your heart. You're feeling the tug and the pull of God by His Holy Spirit touching you right now in this place this morning. Don't deny it. Don't step back. Step up. Step forward. Allow God to be your God. Allow Jesus to be your Savior. If that's your heart's cry, you feel the Spirit speaking to you right now, just lift your hand. I won't embarrass you. Just lift your hand and say, Pastor, please pray for me. Anyone here, please lift your hand. Is there anyone? Anyone? Oh, I know the Spirit is speaking. I know the Holy Spirit is reaching and pulling and calling. Receive Christ today. Receive that work today. In the name of Jesus, express your faith in Him. Ask Him to come into your heart, to forgive you of your sins. It'll be the best day of your life. Oh, Jesus, minister by Your Holy Spirit. Oh, minister, Father, by Your Spirit. Yes, Lord. Minister, I pray. Thank You, Jesus. Thank You, Jesus. Thank You, Jesus. Amen. Amen. Would you please stand with me this morning? The title of this sermon, I Am Not Ashamed. I believe that you feel this way in your heart. So let us make this declaration out loud with passion, with all of our heart together. Say these words with me as we close out today. I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God to salvation for everyone. Say it with me one more time. I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God to salvation for everyone. We believe those words today. Heavenly Father, we commit today ourselves to You to be bold, to be unashamed, to be full of the passion and the power of the Holy Spirit in our lives, to reach out around us, to not think of the cost, but to declare that good news by the power of Your work in us. In Jesus' name, I pray. Thank You, Father. In Jesus' name. Thank You, Lord. Thank You, Lord. Thank You.